Hello and welcome to our site. Today, as we're all trying to work our way through the challenges of a viral pandemic that has changed our world over the last few months, I would like to share with you from God's Word a few thoughts about hope in troubled times. We've reached the point where probably all of us by now know someone who sadly has not recovered from COVID-19. We've all been touched in degrees from discomfort and frustration to painful loss and searing grief. A few of my colleagues in ministry have died from the virus, and several at this point are sick. As one who has recovered, I am more grateful than ever for the gift of life, which can be here today and gone tomorrow. So let's think for a moment about hope in troubled times, and let's glean from the Word of God encouragement that we all need. Have your Bible handy, and please turn with me now to Psalm 37, as I read to you some selected verses from Psalm 37, and then keep your Bible open so that we can turn to several other passages as we move along in our theme, Hope in Troubled Times. Psalm 37, a psalm of David. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil, for evil men will be cut off. But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Down to verse 23. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Verse 39, the salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in times of trouble. Just so far, may God bless his word to us this morning. The Hebrew prophets had their fair share of troubled times, didn't they? Jeremiah's lamentations have been described as a sobbing requiem. The tears of the prophet splash onto every page. I weep, he writes. My eyes overflow with tears. No one is near to comfort me. No one to restore my spirit. My eyes fail from weeping. I am in torment. My heart is poured out on the ground. Streams of tears flow from my eyes. What I see brings grief to my soul. That would be an apt description of thousands of people who, over the last 3 months, have not been able to be at the bedside of a loved one who has passed away. The situation has been brutal, to say the least, inhumane, to die alone. But now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, the scripture says. But how? And what is hope? Hope is very similar to faith. Someone said hope is faith that waits while it trusts. It carries the element of patient and quiet confidence in God, that he will fulfill his promises. Hope points to the future, whereas faith usually has a present objective. Hope is the confidence that waits with certainty and a positive outlook to a God who will not fail to come through. But it surrenders to his way and his time. Hope is crucial in troubled times, isn't it? Viktor Frankl, in his book Man's Search for Meaning, describes the awful conditions of life in the prisoner of war camp where he was unjustly incarcerated. He noticed that those who lost hope died quicker. He wrote his conclusion, and I quote, "Man can bear with almost any how, so long as he has a why to live for. Man can bear with almost any how, so long as he has a why to live for." The psalmist said, "No one who hopes in you, Lord, will ever be put to shame." Jeremiah the prophet said, "Blessed is the man whose hope is in the Lord." Zechariah refers to God's people as prisoners of hope. Paul says to the Romans, "Be joyful in hope." To the Corinthians, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." The writer to the Hebrews says, "We have hope as an anchor to our souls, so let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess." I'm sure that you're familiar with the words of the prophet Isaiah, who writes in Isaiah chapter 40, from verse 28 to verse 31. If you'd like to turn to it in your own Bible, I'm reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, and from verse 28. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." I hope every one of us this morning has God-given hopes in our lives, for life without hope can become empty and, in fact, unbearable. God is described in the Bible as the God of hope, and he wants our lives this morning to overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us as believers. God gave Abraham a hope expressed in a promise. It was the hope that he and Sarah would have a son and heir, and that through his descendants the whole world would be blessed. God gave Joseph a hope. It was expressed in a dream, that he would be exalted to be an instrument of deliverance for his family and his people. God gave Hannah a hope, expressed in a prayer, that God would give her a son whose whole life would be given over to the Lord, Samuel, one of the greatest of the Hebrew prophets. God gave the prophet Jeremiah a hope, expressed in a conviction that Judah would return from exile in Babylon. So real was his hope that at the worst time possible, he bought some real estate in Jerusalem in anticipation of the return. God gave the Apostle Paul a hope, expressed in a burning desire that although all hell was arrayed against him, he would one day make it to the capital city of the empire, so that in Rome also he could bear witness to the real King, Jesus. God gave the Apostle John a hope, expressed in a certainty that one day he would see Jesus again face to face and be changed into his likeness. God gave Hudson Taylor a hope that though dimmed at times by opposition and difficulty, was never snuffed out, the hope that China would one day be evangelized. God gave William Carey a hope that was challenged even by fellow theologians and ministers, the evangelization of India. That hope burned bright in the life of William Carey, despite the odds that were stacked against him. And God gave David Livingstone a hope that Africa would be evangelized. The power of hope. What is it that you are hoping for this morning? Perhaps some of us are just hoping to get through this time of the COVID-19 pandemic. Whether your hope finds expression in a promise God has made, or a dream that God has put within your heart, or a prayer that is in your soul, or a burning conviction, or a deep desire that's in your inner being, I want to encourage you and exhort you this morning to examine your hope. Hold on to your hope. Never give up on your hope. Don't let anyone steal or destroy your hope, because as I'm sure you've found out, there are a lot of hope killers out there in the world, and sadly sometimes they can be found in the church too. So I want to begin by acknowledging that and taking a look with you at some of these destroyers of hope, these hope killers, so that we can identify them and debilitate their crippling influence on our lives. What are hope destroyers? Well, often they come, of course, in the form and shape of people. For Joseph, it was his own brothers. They were jealous of his dream. Their jealousy turned to anger. Their anger turned to hatred. They didn't have a good word to say about their brother Joseph. They didn't like the hope that Joseph had, so they criticized it and set about trying to destroy it. When the opportunity came, they tried to kill the dream by selling their brother to the Ishmaelites, who took him as a slave to be resold in Egypt. Friends, there will always be people who discourage our hope, criticize our hope, misunderstand our hope, or even oppose our hope. For Hannah, it was her husband's other wife, Peninnah. Can you imagine being married to two women in the same house at the same time? Actually, that was not the problem here. The real problem was that Hannah was barren. She was not able to have a child. And just as Joseph was the victim of favoritism, so to Hannah, in her case, it just compounded the problem. And her hope for a son was sorely tested day after day by Peninnah, who probably stoked the rivalry and vented her jealousy by making snide remarks and loaded innuendos about the disgrace of Hannah's inability to have a baby. I'm sure only a woman struggling to conceive would understand what Hannah went through as her hope was battered day after day. There will always be people who will steal your hope if you let them. Sometimes there'll be people who will try and sidetrack you from your hope by offering you an alternative agenda, a different job perhaps, a different career path, a different lifestyle, a different experience. Destroyers of hope are on every hand, and they come in many disguises. For Joseph, it came in the form of the sexy Mrs. Potiphar, who tried to seduce him. Scripture and history are littered with examples of those who would kill the dream, kill our hope, by causing the downfall of those who hope, those who have a dream. It comes in a host of subtle ways. People. Secondly, sometimes it's bad counsel that threatens to destroy our hope. You remember the story of Rehoboam, Solomon's son? Hope was destroyed by the bad counsel of his younger advisers. We read the story in the second book of Chronicles, chapter 10. If you'd like to turn there in your Bible, reading from verse 6. It's an interesting story where Rehoboam takes the throne and wonders how to treat his subjects. And so we read from verse 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 10. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. "How would you advise me to answer these people?" he asked. They replied, "If you will be kind to these people and please them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants." But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. He asked them, "What is your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, 'Lighten the yoke that your father put on us'?" The young men who had grown up with him replied, "Tell the people who have said to you, 'Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter,' tell them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions.'" 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam, as the king had said. come back to me in 3 days. The king answered them harshly, rejecting the advice of the elders. He followed the advice of the young men and said, "My father made your yoke heavy. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions." So the king did not listen to the people, for his turn of events was from God, to fulfill the word the Lord had spoken to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through Ahijah, the Shilonite. When all Israel saw that the king refused to listen to them, they answered the king, "What share do we have in David? What part in Jesse's son? To your tents, O Israel. Look after your own house, O David." So all the Israelites went home. But as for the Israelites who were still living in the towns of Judah, Rehoboam still ruled over them. King Rehoboam sent out to Adoniram, who was in charge of forced labor, but the Israelites stoned him to death. King Rehoboam, however, managed to get into his chariot and escape to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. Bad counsel. Always be careful who you listen to. Be very selective in those whom you will put your trust to give you counsel, for this world is full of people who specialize in giving bad counsel. It's not always cheap counsel either, is it? Some counsel is very expensive. There are two things that you and I must always check out when we receive advice. The one is the counselor, and the other is the counsel itself. Two questions we should always ask. Is this a godly person whose example I'd like to emulate? What sort of character is giving me this counsel? The second question, is the counsel based on sound scriptural principles? Or is this anything here that I'm hearing that violates the will of God, clearly revealed in His Word? And then, thirdly, hope destroyers often come in the form of adverse circumstances. For Joseph, it went from the pit to Potiphar's debacle to the prison and to poverty years. Everything in his favor seemed to be against him. At regular intervals, circumstances threatened to destroy Joseph's hope. Hannah's circumstances also seemed destined to destroy her hope, her bitterness, a disgrace, a curse. Verses 6-8 in our scripture passage affected her appetite, her health, her looks. Barrenness was a ground for divorce. Adverse circumstances can sometimes destroy our hope. The truth is that the adverse circumstances that many are experiencing through the coronavirus pandemic is causing many people to lose hope. Another hope destroyer is delay. What a hope stealer this often turns out to be. The passing of time will create doubt in our minds if we let it. It happened to Sarah and Abraham. It can happen to anyone. Delay, delay. How long before a vaccine will be found to end the COVID-19 pandemic? For Joseph, the days rolled into weeks. The weeks rolled into months. The months in prison rolled into years. And then when the cupbearer was released from prison, he forgot to mention the interpreter of his dream. For 2 years, Joseph was delayed in a prison. What about Hannah? Year after barren year, Hannah went up to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. Delay can be a destroyer of hope. And so we could go on and on, talking about hope destroyers, the critics, the cynics, the circumstances, the counselors. The bottom line is this. Listen carefully. You have to choose to let a thief steal your hope. You have to choose to let a thief steal your hope. Don't let anyone, don't let anything rob you of the hope that God has put in your heart this morning. Perhaps it's the hope of a godly partner. Perhaps it's the hope of a Christian family. Perhaps it's the hope of a future in Christian ministry. Perhaps it's the hope of a successful business. Whatever it may be, let's hurry on to look at the developers of hope. What are the things that will inspire hope, promote hope, build hope in troubled times? Well, first of all, nothing will promote hope like prayer and praise. You know the little verse, "Rise and soar into the sunlight rays, using both your wings of prayer and praise. Mount like eagles higher in the sky, and you'll find things look so different when you fly." Look at Hannah in 1 Samuel and chapter 1 and verse 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verses 10 and 12. Let's turn there together. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 and 12. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and do not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. I don't have anything that will inspire hope like prayer, daily, ongoing communion with the Lord. How do you know your hope is born of God? Well, God will correct it. God will direct it through your communion with him in prayer. This dialogue with the Lord, day by day, is something that God uses to build our hope. To come to the place where daily we wait upon God, daily we listen to the voice of God, and then we couple that prayer with praise, as Hannah did. Listen to her praise in 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 and 2, and verses 8 and 9. You have it there in your Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and verses 8 and 9. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God." Verse 6, "The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, and he has them inherit a throne of honor." Praise and prayer. You see, praise will put you in touch with God. Praise is the red carpet to the door of the throne of grace. It will put you into a realm of hope, because it'll dethrone self and debilitate Satan and enthrone the Savior. Nothing will promote hope like prayer and praise. And then secondly, faith and perseverance. Faith and perseverance. Oh, the encouragement of the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, reminding them in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, that the Scriptures of the Old Testament are written to give us encouragement and hope. Everything that was written in the past, he says, was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And then verse 13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Did you get those words, those five little words, "as you trust in him"? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Prayer is the spark plug of faith, and praise will detonate faith. Hannah was a woman of great faith. That's why she made a vow, "If you will give me a son, I will give him to you, so that he'll be yours all the days of his life." when through your communion with God you know that God is directing your hope, you can trust God fully to fulfill the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. This is the assurance that we have in God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He not only hears us, but we already have the petitions that we ask of Him. Just as we link praise with prayer, so we link perseverance with faith. Endurance. Endurance. Paul writes to Timothy and encourages him to endurance in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to turn to 2 Timothy and chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And then verse 7, reflect on what I'm saying, and the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Perseverance. Endurance. Joseph simply persevered. He just kept on keeping on. He never seemed to question God's delays or the adverse circumstances. How like the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. The Apostle Paul says there, just busy turning to it, 2 Corinthians and chapter 11 and verse 23. The Apostle Paul says, are they servants of Christ? I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. But he goes on to boast in the Lord, who gives him perseverance. My prayer for you is that God may fill you with hope as you continue to trust in Him. Yes, we're living in difficult times. These are trying times. But God is on the throne, and He's at work in everything for the good of those who love Him. And so may the God of hope fill you with all hope as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. My closing challenge, as we come to the end of this little message this morning on hope in troubled times, is that you will be a hopeful to others who are on this journey. I'm sure you remember the Pilgrim's Progress, and how when Pilgrim was on his journey, there were those times when he was really feeling down. And on that one occasion, along came a fellow pilgrim, and when asked his name, he said, my name is Hopeful. And what times they had together, as Hopeful encouraged Pilgrim on his journey. Hopeful was there to help him to decide what was right and what was wrong. Hopeful was there to guide him and to uplift him. And I pray that in these troubled times, God will make each one of us hopefuls, people who can come alongside others in their journey, those who are downcast, those who are discouraged, perhaps those who are depressed. May God make us all like Hopeful, able to come alongside other pilgrims on their journey toward the celestial city and be a means of its strength and encouragement and build hope into their lives. And when we do that, an amazing thing happens. As we bless others and encourage others, so God blesses us and encourages us. So Lord, make us all hopefuls in these trying times, to the glory of Christ. Now let's bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way in which Scripture speaks into our lives every time we open our Bible and meditate in the Word of God. The entrance of your Word gives light. We thank you that every Scripture is God-breathed and useful for correction and instruction, for reproving us and for training us in right living so that we can have all that you want us to have, be all that you want us to be. Thank you for your Word that's living and powerful, dear Lord. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who gives us understanding, who gives revelation, who enlightens us and illumines our minds, inspires our hearts, instructs our will. And we thank you, our Father, that you are the God of hope. And we thank you that in these troubled days in which we're living, we can fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who is the source of hope. And we thank you, our Father, that as we praise and as we pray, as we believe and as we endure, as we put our trust in you, thank you for the wonderful way in which by your Holy Spirit you inspire us and enable us to be not only those who are filled with hope, but those who are able to build into others' lives. Help us all to be hopefuls, helping other pilgrims along their way. Take our lives and use us, we pray, to bring hope to many in these troubled times. Our Father, we especially pray today for those who have lost hope. We pray especially for those who have lost hope of seeing their loved ones again, because their loved ones are in critical care, in ICU and on ventilators. And, dear Father, we just lift up those who perhaps have given up hope, and we pray that you would draw near to them and that you would touch them in a brand new way, even as we're praying. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those who have lost vision, those who have lost a dream of being all that you want them to be. We pray, Heavenly Father, for all those who are discouraged and downcast today, that you would strengthen them with all power by your Holy Spirit in their innermost being, that Christ may reside in their lives through faith, and that they, together with all your people, will know all the dimensions of the wonderful love of God, be filled with the fullness of God. Thank you that you are the God who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or even imagine by your mighty power that is at work within us. And so let there be glory in your church in these days. We pray that in these troubled times your church may be salt and light. We pray that you would not only speak into our lives today and fill us with hope as we trust in you, but please use us to bring blessing to others. And so now, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and for evermore. Amen.
Triumph for the pain, who knows victorious.